Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has an impure spirit.
Thanks, Jackie. Hello. Nice to see you all. I'm just going to pop this here. I'm going to get myself arranged. Let me move this over. Thank you to Michael and to Randall who moved the table out so I can move around a little bit. For those who don't know me, my name's Beck and I'm on the ministry team here at Deep Creek. And tonight, I have a relatively simple message for you. Hopefully. That's it. That's pretty much it. That's the entire message. Jesus is the strongest. If we can whip out some supper now. And that's it, all over and done with. Often when someone's preaching on something, it's interesting what your week entails. And this is the message of my week. And I'll share a little bit with you. But to begin with, I'm just going to pray. Jesus, we just declare that we are your followers. You are the head of this church. You are the head of the church. And we thank you that you are strongest. I pray, Jesus, as I talk about this passage and talk about these events that happened in your ministry, I pray that you would just teach us a little bit more about you. Amen. So, some of you may know, some of you may not know, I have been attending a gym for 6 months. Yes, so without the fear of this family, I was saying to Laura earlier on today, I was very embarrassed to put this picture up. But this is me doing a deadlift. Should all be suitably impressed. That's about, it's like 65 kilos, and today, this week we have strength testing, so my whole week was focused on strongest. Usually that's not how it pans out when your message is about something like this, but I was focused on how has my strength physically improved. Pleased to say I can now lift 85 kilos in a deadlift, very impressive. That's probably a person, like a man-ish person. I was a bit impressed. Randall? No, we won't do that. And I was really impressed with that idea until I met or heard about this guy called Eddie Hall. They say exercise is good for you. Eddie Hall got himself into some serious problems. He lifted 500 kilos. It's half a ton, half an elephant, which kind of, you know, we each on our own journey of physical strength. He really has proven himself to be quite far on that journey. But tonight we start to look at this idea is, do we actually think of Jesus as the strongest? When we see someone like Eddie Hall that can lift, or I should say me, who can lift 85 kilos, or Eddie Hall that can lift 500 kilos, do we actually think about Jesus being the strongest? the strongest physically, the strongest emotionally, the strongest spiritually, because he is God. So tonight in this passage that Jackie read out for us, we actually see Jesus' strength. I'm going to take us through a little bit. For some of us who were here last week, we heard from quite an esteemed preacher. I'm just going to quote something from his sermon because I loved it. And it tied beautifully in with what I was talking about. Chris did a great talk last week. If you haven't listened to it, download it on the podcast. But his quote said, "We have been sent by Christ into the midst of an evil world to confront evil head on with the power of God." And tonight we're going to look at this idea that Jesus actually is strong. We can trust that he sent us into this world because that's actually what he did. Sometimes our lives can feel a little bit overwhelming. But when we look at the life of Jesus, the one that we were singing just before, that we are united to, he lived a life of strength. So let's have a look at the passage. Mark 3:20-30 is a great little reflection from Mark on a period of time in Jesus' life. So up until this point, Jesus had, you know, he'd been baptized, the Spirit had come upon him, he'd been tempted, so he's out in the desert for 40 days. He'd announced in the temple that the kingdom has come. He was healing the sick, he was casting out demons, and everywhere he went, there was crowds gathered. And at the beginning of this story, actually in Matthew's account, it has a healing that just happens just before this actual moment. So Jesus has just healed somebody, and the crowds are like, "Who is this guy?" They're gathering around, and they're wondering what's going on. And this time, Jesus went into a house, and again, a crowd gathered. He and his disciples were not even able to eat. That's always strikes me as a challenge because I love eating. Can you imagine a situation in your life that you can't even eat because the crowd was so big? When his family heard about this, they came and took charge of him and they said, "For he is out of his mind." Heidi is actually going to speak a little bit about this next week and talking about the family's reaction in this situation. What I want to focus on is what Jesus did next. Tonight, we are transporting ourselves into the crowd. Might have looked a little bit like this back then, squished up. And in one account of Mark, in one passage of Mark a little bit earlier on, actually talks about because Jesus was healing so many sick people, the sick people would actually be pushing up the front of the crowds to the front. I kind of thought about that a little bit and made me feel slightly uncomfortable. Can you imagine a crowd where everyone's pushing and shoving? Today might look a little bit more like this, but I want you to picture yourself in that crowd. You're at the house, Jesus is there, he's just done all of this cool stuff. He's healed leprosy, he's delivered people. The teachers of the law came down from Jerusalem and said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He's driving out demons." So they called Jesus over to him and he began to speak in parables. The teachers of the law are the people that were supposed to be pointing to Yahweh, supposed to be teaching people about Jesus or the Father, Son, and Spirit. They were so threatened by Jesus and what he was doing that they chose to actually discredit him. Even worse too, Satan is used here as a label for Jesus. They literally pointed at Jesus and said, "You are Satan." I'm like, almost to the... I picture that crowd, and in my mind, I'm quite visual, so I imagine, you know, the teachers of the law there, and I imagine everyone in the crowd just kind of going like this, stepping away. It must have been confusing for the crowd. These were the teachers, and they were calling him Satan. What does Jesus say? Jesus calls them over. Can you imagine? He calls them over, and he addresses them. Jesus says, how can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, it cannot stand. The logic that these teachers were saying to Jesus didn't make sense. And Jesus calls them out on it. He says, if I'm actually Satan and I am getting rid of myself in people, I am breaking myself apart. The logic doesn't make sense. In Luke chapter 11, it tells us a little bit more detail. It says, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus actually is saying, actually when I do this stuff, it's not that I'm Satan, it's actually I'm bringing the kingdom of God on earth. Jesus is logically the strongest, and he's not scared to have those logical arguments. You notice in the text that there's no reply? You may not have noticed in the text that there's no reply. There's no answer. Jesus says this and they're silent because he spoke the truth. The next part of the passage, he starts to talk about, in a parable, about robbing someone. Which when you first read it, it kind of sounds like a little bit strange. I was chatting about this with one of the esteemed pastors in our church community. I'm like, I'm trying to get my head around it. Jesus says, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying them up. What Jesus is saying here is you can pick the strongest person on earth. And for some people, that's a physical person. You might picture in your mind the strongest emotional situation or the strongest spiritual situation. And what Jesus is actually referring to is the ruler of the earth, Satan, the strongest man that you can picture. I am stronger than him. I tie him up. And then he says he can plunder the strong man's house. Does anyone know what plunder means? Interactive moment from the audience, go. Plunder. Where have you heard plunder before? Pirates, yes. Pirates usually plunder treasure, the good stuff. Yeah. Anyone else? That's pretty much my context for plunder. I couldn't think of anything else. But the fact is, Jesus says, whatever the ruler is, the strong man in this world, I actually overpower him. In Luke chapter 11, the same parallel passage also happens. He says, with a little doobie thing, there it is. When a strong man fully armed with his guards over his house and his possessions are safe, but when someone stronger attacks him and overpowers him, he takes away the armor which the man trusted and divides up the plunder. This can be a passage that we overlook a little bit because it's just, you know, sometimes a little bit challenging. But the fact that Jesus is stronger than anything that you will ever face in this world is one of the most important things that you need to know about Jesus. The one that we follow is stronger than any situation we will ever encounter. And because we are united in Christ, we are given that power to be stronger. There's also tucked away at the end of the passage this little verse that would scare the pants off me if I was one of those teachers. Jesus also addresses This is addressed back to the teachers who was essentially calling him Satan. Whoever, oh, truly I tell you, people can be forgiven for all of their sins and every slander they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, and they are guilty of an eternal sin. When we call the work of the Holy Spirit evil, we blaspheme against God. Jesus takes that really seriously. Sometimes we don't understand what the Holy Spirit is doing. Sometimes we might not understand a situation, but to call it evil is very serious in the eyes of God. Jesus is practically stronger. He's logically stronger and practically stronger than the strong man. He binds up the strong man and leaves him helpless. He takes away the armor of Satan and he plunders what was his originally, that the strong man stole, and he reclaims it. And we're united to his work on the cross. And this idea of plundering, I sat on this a little bit. Because when we talk about plundering, my mind went to pirates and treasure. And I had to step into Jesus' story to see what he's actually talking about. So when he starts to talk about plundering, the fact is his version of plundering is every act of love that he ever did. As he plunders the strong man's house, he reclaims people through love. He breaks things through love. So every time he spoke the truth to people, he plundered the kingdom of heaven. He brought God's kingdom there. Every time he said a word of encouragement to somebody, maybe to you, he brings God's kingdom there. Every time he retreated in prayer, he plundered the kingdom of darkness. Every act of generosity plundered the kingdom of darkness. Every act of deliverance, every act of healing, all were acts of plundering. So my challenge tonight is to reframe this idea of what plundering is, to leave the pirates of the Caribbean over here, and to start to see that plundering in Jesus' world is actually bringing love to people. Chris used this great quote. I'm stealing lots from you, Chris, from last week. It says, from C.S. Lewis, one of the best authors of all time. Just a little bit biased, but I thought I'd share that with you. Enemy-occupied territory, that's what this world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed. You might say landed in disguise. And is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. I won't adjust C.S. Lewis's words, but I could say take part in a great campaign of plundering. That's what we're called to do. Another great author, if you ever get an opportunity to read any of his books, a guy called Reinhard Bonnke, great name. He is quoted to say, we are to plunder hell to populate heaven for Calvary's sake. That is what our actions are. We can trust this, that we are called into this space in the world to plunder, because one, that's what Jesus did, and two, that's what he died for. The gift of the Holy Spirit that he gave us enables us to do this in his name. So united to Christ, we plunder. The plundering acts that we do are acts of love. It can be the smallest act of love. So I got a text message today from a couple of people that said, Beck, I'm praying for you. That is an act of love. That is a plundering for the kingdom. Every act of love that we do in Jesus' name reclaims what Jesus did. reclaims what he has redeemed. We steal it back in Jesus' name. So every time that you actually speak truth sensitively and with wisdom, we plunder. Every word of encouragement that you give to somebody, we plunder. Every time you come to gather in prayer, we plunder, we push back. Every generous act, financial, time, I can't think of the other one, time, financial, time, talents, treasure. Yeah, your gifts, use your gifts, thanks. Every act of deliverance that's done in Jesus' name, every healing that's done in Jesus' name is plundering the kingdom. And this is the cool part that I think that we get to be a part of. I can trust Jesus completely. I know that I can trust him completely more than any other person in the world. And he invites me to be part of this adventure, part of this plundering. We're going to break off into a couple of groups, just with a couple of people that you feel comfortable with, and think about this for a little bit. Have you ever considered that acts of love are actually plundering hell to populate heaven? What does plundering, remember Jesus' version of plundering, look like in your life? Are there situations that Jesus can actually practically defeat the strong man for you? And it's an opportunity to actually have a little bit of time to pray together. So we're going to have sort of small discussion groups. There's no pressure. I am a teacher, so I'm fighting off the urge to number you all off, but I won't do that. But I just want you to think about this idea. Do you actually believe Jesus is the strongest? Do you believe that he plundered? Do you believe that you're called to plunder? After a short period of time, we'll come back together, and I've just got a couple more thoughts that I'll share with you. So, go. Form little groups. And if you've got questions just about what I've talked about for the first 10 minutes, please come and ask me. I'm happy to, you know, interact during this time. All right. Form little groups. Who feels comfortable? Form spaces, form. We might just have a couple more minutes sharing in little groups, and then we might just share as a bigger group. I know. I was just chatting about question three, other situations that Jesus can practically defeat a strong man in your life. I'm not sure if your group is up to sharing, but I thought I'd share my example that I wrote, like I was thinking of when I wrote it. So I'm doing my PhD this year, and I'm entering a world of academic knowledge that constantly tells me that I do not know enough and I'm not good enough. And so for me, practically, I need to continue to keep asking Jesus to defeat that strong man, those lies that I'm not good enough, those lies that I don't know enough. So that's my practical example. But it's going to be very different for each of us. So it may not be a physical person, it might be a situation. Or for some people, it might actually be a physical person. Thinking about what's actually holding us back, what's actually still, I guess, being the fullness of who we can be in Jesus, and asking Jesus to actually defeat that in his name and speak truth into it. So a couple more minutes and we'll come back together. I told you my message was simple. Jesus is the strongest. I want to correct, just in your mind, Jesus is not stronger. He's the strongest. Why would I make that distinction? Why would I say that Jesus is not stronger necessarily? Jackie Ladder? Yeah, the strongest means there's no one above him. If we say if Jesus is stronger, there's the potential in our mind to go, ooh, but maybe there's someone stronger. We say that Jesus is the strongest, it's definitive. There's no one stronger. Ooh. What we do, and Irene pointed that out in her story, every act of love that plunders the kingdom is important. What we do matters. How we live our life matters. What we say matters, and it has impact on people. And as the body of Christ today and the Spirit working through us, it matters. It matters to the community here in East Doncaster. It matters to, you're like this one, the people in our spheres of influence or?
Metrons.
Good, metrons. I know. What we do in those spaces matter. Now, that's not to put pressure on you, because I think it's actually really exciting. Exciting to know that actually when we bring Jesus and ask Jesus into those spaces, we can trust that he will change something. There is nothing that you are facing in your life or no one that you are facing in your life that is stronger than Jesus. But as we journey together, we just ask Jesus to come into that space and through the work of the Holy Spirit, reclaim it and transform it. We bring life and hope, love, peace and joy into a world that desperately needs it every time we plunder. As Chris said, we've been sent into the midst of an evil world by Christ to confront evil head on with the power of God. I'm going to add my own, Chris. We're called to plunder by the power of the Holy Spirit, to reclaim what Christ has redeemed, because Jesus is stronger. That's what he did. Jesus is the strongest. So that's what we do. I'm going to pray for us. We declare, Jesus, that you are the strongest. Jesus, we think of the situations that we're facing right now, or potentially the people that we're facing right now, that we would love to see you defeat. We invite you in to defeat whatever that circumstance is. Teach us the truth where there are lies. We ask Jesus as we go about this week that you'll show us how you are actually the strongest in all circumstances, at all times. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.